The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Welcome along to episode 31 of the Big Scottish Football Cup. Can you hear anything?
Can't hear. Good start. No, I can't hear through these cans.
Are they plugged in?
I'm not plugged in, mate.
Oh, stop.
Oh, we're back.
I can hear.
Keep this bit in.
This is the best footage you'll get.
Right, are you ready?
Oh, what a start.
Can you hear
Go
me?
Go for it. I'm still celebrating yesterday.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Welcome along to episode 31 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast with me, Ewan Cameron. Stephen Mill is off on his honeymoon with his lovely wife. They are in the United States of America, so I've drafted in a very special guest who's still a wee bit hungover from yesterday. He's a legend of Celtic. He's never a legend of Celtic. I'll tell you who's a legend of Celtic, right? Somebody like a Neil Lennon would be a legend of Celtic. Billy McNeil would be a legend of Celtic. Willie Johnston would be a legend of Celtic.
Mark Wilson.
Even Andy Walker would be a legend of Celtic.
Hold on a minute.
Nobody knows it's you yet, so shut your face. Even Frank McAvenny would be classed more of a legend than our guest today. Even Fraser Forster, who's only here for like...
I am standing
years.
Here. I've got feelings. What a build-up.
Mike Galloway.
Oh, come on.
Is more of a legend than the man who's co-hosting the show with me today. He's also a former Dundee United player, and he was also at Dumbarton, and he was barely capped for Scotland. I think he got one. Was it just a one cap?
Why did I agree to this?
Just a one cap. He won 15 games in 4 years at the helm of Airdrie and Brechin. He only won 15 games as a manager in 4 years at Airdrie and Brechin. That's a shocking record. Neither wonder he works on Clyde Super Scoreboard because nobody else is going to have him. It's the only gig he's ever going to get.
So I can defend myself.
Hold on a second. Anyway, so 4 years at the helm of Airdrie and Brechin, he won 15 games, but some of that he can blame on Gordon DL. I'm not quite sure why he can blame that on Gordon DL. Va va voom! Our very special guest today and co-hosting the show with me is Celtic's Mark Wilson. Hello there, Mark.
Thank you, Ewan, for that terrific build-up. I'm feeling so confident about myself after that. By the way, just in that Airdrie stat, who's dug that up?
It was Albie Airdrie producer Chris. Intern Chris.
Good start, Chris. Those 15 games at Airdrie were crucial.
That includes Brechin as well.
Let's scrub it, the Brechin bit.
But you were there.
I was there. Right, it's okay. A nice part of the world.
Before we get to the Viaplay Cup final.
Okay. Right.
15 games in 4 years. That's how many you won.
Yeah, but I wasn't a manager for 4 years, was I?
Yeah.
No. I took over Airdrie in September.
Uh-huh.
Resigned. Resigned.
Or were you asked to
in
leave?
In the summer. No. See all that mutual. We put it out as mutual, but I did.
You decided.
I was on my terms.
On your terms.
DL begged me to stay. He was director of football at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then at Brechin, I was asked to leave. I was asked to leave. And I seen the club through the old COVID period. So a bad defence, Ewan.
So
I was brutal.
After your 4 years in the dugout at Airdrie and Brechin, you knew it wasn't for you.
No, I wouldn't say that. I was the youngest manager in Scottish football at the time.
So you're saying you're not giving up the dream of being a manager?
No, but I would like to have the chance, Ewan, to be a first team coach.
That's different.
Mm-hmm. You know, that you're learning from an experienced man. I was thrust into the front seat.
Why has nobody knocked on your door to be that first team coach?
Because I'm always in here, ain't I?
What, they're not knocking on your door because you work on Clyde Super Scoreboard?
Aye. They enjoy me too much on a Saturday.
Is it the case that they're not knocking on your door because of that horrendous record of 4 years at Airdrie and Brechin?
I don't even think many people would have taken any notice of that. I think loads of people wouldn't even know I was manager at Airdrie or Brechin. This could be an advertisement, actually, for me.
It's not a good one, though.
Well,
shall we look back at the weekend's football?
Please, because we've decimated my hopes of getting back into football.
Nah, you'll maybe get that chance again at one stage in your life. Who knows? Right, let's get right into it and let's talk about the Viaplay Cup final yesterday at Hampden Park. Rangers versus Celtic. First bit of silverware to be won. And Celtic won it by 2-1. I thoroughly enjoyed the final. I know there was a few people out there who are saying, it wasn't the best of games. I thought it was really, really good. I didn't think there was much in it until Keogh scores a goal at the end of the first half. Your thoughts on the game, Mark Wilson?
Well, I agree with you. I thought it was a good game. Look, the opening 20 minutes were always going to be cagey. On that surface, on the face, it looked good, but I don't think it was as good as everybody thought it would be.
Well, you were there. Did it look bad there? Because it looked bad on the telly.
It looked brilliant to start with.
It was very bumpy looking.
We spoke about how good it looked, and then as soon as the game started, you seen players, you know, struggling with the surface and in terms of passing, and looked very bobbly. So the opening 20 minutes was always going to be like that. But I thought after that, it did liven up. I think the Rangers fans would be rightly disappointed in the first half, but I think the Celtic fans were pleased with how things were going. A wee bit wasteful, I think, Celtic in the final third in the first half until the goal came. But the second half I thought was excellent. I mean, we were all on the edge of our seats.
In the final 10 minutes of that first half, Celtic piled on the pressure and a goal was coming. He scored it just at the right time, just before the halftime whistle. But before we get into the details of the actual game itself and the goals, let's look at the two starting 11s. There was no surprise for me from Celtic.
Yep,
that was their best starting 11. I thought Matt O'Reilly was a wee bit unlucky because he's been really good for Celtic this season. It was a straight up choice between him and Moy.
Yep.
Was it right to go with Moy? I thought it was.
Oh, without doubt. Yeah. I think the evidence shows now. You know, I know we'll get into the goals, but Moy, since the World Cup, has come back a different player. You know, it looks like the responsibility he has with his national team has just led into him being this leader for Celtic in the middle of the park. Now,
yes.
I know he's a quiet lad. Have you seen him being interviewed, Ewan, before?
Yeah.
Very, very quiet. And our esteemed colleague, Gordon Duncan's had that pleasure of interviewing him and said it is very, very difficult to get in.
He's a man of few words.
Mm-hmm. But he can play, by the way.
He can play.
And he's been terrific in the lead up. So that was the only real talking point you would say for Celtic. And Ange Postecoglou got it right.
I also thought another talking point for me was leaving out Abada, because every time he's played against Rangers, he's been a thorn in their side and has actually scored goals against Rangers as well. And I thought that they might have possibly gone with Abada on the right and Jota on the left, but he stuck with Maeda. And I suppose you have to. The boy's been brilliant since he's come back from the World Cup, a bit like Aaron Moy.
That's a good shout, because Abada against Barisic, he always seems to give Barisic a headache.
That's why I thought he might get the nod.
Barisic always looks petrified in his positioning when he comes up against Abada. But with Maeda on the other side, you nullify the threat of James Tavernier. The work rate that Maeda gives you going back,
that for me
pace
was the battle of the day. That was brilliant to
but
watch.
But you know what? See, after about 15-20 minutes, I'm thinking this is the wrong decision. Maeda ran the ball at the pitch twice. He then crossed it at the pitch.
Yeah.
He looked like he didn't have the confidence to even take Tavernier on, even though he had the pace on him. And I was thinking, that's the wrong decision. But goes to show what I know. Maybe that's that at the start.
That's,
shows
that's
why
you're only, that's why you only won 15 games in 4 years. So that was a Celtic lineup. So there was only a couple of wee decisions there to be made when it comes to Moy and O'Reilly and Abada and Maeda. Let's get to Michael Beale. He had a big call to make yesterday. Does he go with Lundstrom and Tillman, who'd been struggling because they'd been carrying an injury? I was of the opinion before we got the team news, there's no way he can go with Lundstrom and Tillman. Maybe one or the other, but not both. And he went with both. And I think that gamble has backfired on them, because when you brought Raskin in, you bring Cantwell in, you bring a bit more energy into that midfield, they looked a different team. I thought Tillman, from the first 10 minutes of the game, looked off it. He looked like he was unfit.
Looked injured.
He looked injured to me.
Did.
He couldn't track back. He looked like he was blown out his backside within 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I thought Callum McGregor and Hatate and Moy had Lundstrom tied up in knots.
Couldn't agree more.
He was running through treacle. He couldn't get anywhere near them. See, Callum McGregor, there isn't a better midfielder in Scottish football right now. That boy is running the game.
Yeah.
And he was allowed to yesterday. And I think Michael Beale got it spectacularly wrong.
I'd have to agree. There's one midfielder, I'll disagree in that, better than McGregor,
In Scotland?
Yep. Hitati at the minute is unplayable. Yesterday, for me, he was head and shoulders above the rest. Now, I'm not taking away from McGregor. McGregor was outstanding how he controlled.
See the consistency of McGregor for the season, though. I think Hatate's come on to a game in recent weeks and he's been outstanding. He's been here, there, and everywhere. I think he played at fullback in a couple of games as well. And he scored
game,
as well. Yeah. But I thought Michael Beale, I mean, every manager lives and dies by their decision. I thought his decision yesterday was a poor one. I said it before the ball was even kicked, so it wasn't looking back and going, or hindsight's a wonderful thing. I thought, oh, you're making a wee mistake there, because you needed to get energy in there to stop McGregor dictating the play, and Lundstrom wasn't getting anywhere near him. And neither was Kamara. I thought Kamara was poor as well.
Well, even in possession of the ball, you know, Lundstrom and Kamara, every time I saw Lundstrom get the ball, he went sideways or back.
Aye.
Then you look, you flip that and you look at Hitati and Moy and McGregor, and every time they got the ball, it was through the lines, it was forward, it was direct, it was punchy, quick, and that's where the goals come from. But you're right with Beale. We highlighted it yesterday at the ground. You make new signings, manager's always going to be judged on his new signings. Postecoglou got judged from the off on his signings, and he's got the majority of them right. Now Beale comes in, he says he wants to sign players that can make a direct impact on the 11, not just be squad players. You've got to remember that Raskin and Cantwell didn't just sign a couple of days ago. They've been at the club
Since January.
They've trained, they know the squad, they've played in games, and they've looked well in games.
Cantwell started a couple of games, and I thought he was very good in the game. Was it St Johnston? This through ball to Morelos, who flipped around to Kamara.
I know the one you mean.
And Kamara then scored a great goal.
That's right.
But what he does is what McGregor does and what Hitati does. He keeps it moving and he looks forward and he's looking to play quick football. You don't get that from Lundstrom or Kamara.
No, of course not. So to go back to the same players who, failed's a strong word, but what other way can you put it? You know, they've been there before and they've been involved in finals before and they've been involved in big games against Celtic before and came up short. To go for them while carrying injuries, Lundstrom and Tillman,
for a cup final against Celtic,
that was a weird call for me. So we were all surprised that Raskin wasn't at the base of the midfield and that Cantwell wasn't in.
Do the senior players have too much power? I mean, there's a lot of senior experienced players in that squad and have been there for a wee while, and then Beale comes back in,
seem undroppable, some of them, no matter what they do. So across the board, I think Beale's got a good relationship with his senior players. He's already mentioned that before he brings in a player, he would consult them.
So he doesn't want to upset them.
I found that strange. I get managers afterwards, after signing a player, sitting down with senior players and saying, oh, how's he fitting in and is he getting on great with the squad? Before bringing in a player, I've never came across that in my career. It's the same players that seem undroppable. Tavernier's obviously the captain, but again, I look at Tavernier at the goals yesterday. So the first goal, he's obviously kind of dragged out of position along with the rest of the back three, I might add, and Barisic, repeat offender at that back post, just looking at whoever's standing in the middle of the 6 yard box to tap it in. I mean, criminal positionally wise
for both Barisic.
For both goals. You look among the team, Lundstrom's one who in the big games is always selected. I think the Rangers fans thought when Beale came in it's going to be a bit of fresh air, just fresh eyes, even though he'd been at the club, that wasn't going to continuously happen. And when they signed the two midfielders, one creative, one in Raskin, I really like the look of.
So I
think Raskin looks a player. To have them in and then they'll play them. But when he changes it in 60 minutes, they were stripped and ready to go. Just at the Rangers free kick when Rangers scored and you thought, right, 60 minutes. And then you wondered, is he going to change it? But he makes a change and Rangers were the more energised team. It's too late at that time.
When the starting 11 came out, I thought, if you're going to go with Kamara and Lundstrom, you play one and you put Raskin in alongside them because you needed energy in there.
Aye.
And they just didn't have it in there with both those players. And both those players are not forward-thinking players.
You're right.
So you're not going to get the ball to Kent quick enough or to Sakala quick enough because Celtic are squeezing you.
Yeah.
Because you're too slow on the ball in the midfield areas. But when Raskin comes on in the second half and Cantwell comes on in the second half, and Cantwell's got a great touch, he's a good footballer, he's a forward-thinking player, you're thinking, why did you not start with that and go for it from the get-go? And for me, Rangers were the better team in the latter stages of the game. And see if Sakala squares it to Morelos instead of shooting, and it goes 2-2, I think Rangers win the cup final because the momentum was with them at that time.
Well, that's difficult. The shift in the game, you You could feel it, and you could sense it in the crowd. Now, for the majority of the game, the Celtic fans to our right were the loudest by far.
Rangers win the game if Sakala squares it to Morelos and doesn't hit the side net?
By the way, I think they've got a good shout. I think anybody could have seen that. The way goals change games, it's that old cliche.
Momentum.
I hate using it, momentum. But Rangers at that time had the bit between their teeth. They made the substitutions, and the substitutions had made an impact in the game. But then the flip side, you've got to give Celtic defence a bit of credit, because when they were called on, when they were under pressure and things were coming towards a goal, they stood firm. So big calls in the big games. Sakala, you're right. By the way, never mind even squaring it right, he probably should have squared it. He should have scored.
That as well. That's the difference between, for example, Sakala and Hatate. Hatate was in a slimmer position. What does he do? He doesn't go for glory. He cuts it back. And who's there?
Of course, Kyogo.
Yeah.
Kyogo's in the middle of the goal.
The second of the goal.
Because he's a predator, he's a striker.
But so is Morelos in the middle of the goal, and Sakala decides to go for goal. Now, he should still score.
Yeah. But that shows you your quality.
Yes, that's the difference.
So for the Rangers fans, you know, the gap isn't big, and we're back, and we're challenging. See, in terms of individual quality, I think there's still a marked difference from the Celtic squad to the Rangers squad in terms of quality.
I'm going to disagree with you.
You think so?
I'm going to disagree with you, because I don't think there was much in the game yesterday. And I think that if Rangers had started the second half in the first half and they went without Lundstrom and Kamara and they put Raskin in there, they put Cantwell in there, I think it's a different game. I don't think there's much in it, Mark. I think Rangers have closed the gap. When you look back at the first Old Firm game of the season, when Celtic absolutely smashed them to bits, Rangers didn't get them back at Ibrox. It's 2-2. Rangers should have won the game. You look at the cup final yesterday, it's only 2-1. You're a side netting away from it being 2-2, and Rangers possibly with the momentum going on to win it. So yeah, I think in regards to individual players, Celtic still have the better quality. But I just think in regards to looking at the two teams yesterday, there wasn't much in it. But Celtic just had the right quality at the right time.
That's probably a better way of putting my point, that the gap is changed from Van Bronckhorst's time. Because look, the Rangers players had to look at themselves under Van Bronckhorst's time. A lot of them tools in, I hate saying it, but that seemed that way. Well, you only have to look at the game at St Mirren and Morelos' performance. He's walking about, and the rest, every bit is culpable. And then you look at Beal. Beal seemed to have installed something different in them, but he's got a plan, Beal. You've seen the way that Rangers try to approach the game in terms of slowing everything down in the first half.
It was poor.
Was so apparent to us. The time McGregor was taking to take a goal kick, when they won a few corners, Barisic and Tavernier walking over to the ball. Look, the manager's obviously got a game plan that as soon as Celtic score, everything got lifted, because they knew they had to get back in.
I think what happened, he took the gamble yesterday with his team selection. Let's hold out for 60 minutes. Let's get to 60 minutes 0-0, and then I'm going to unleash Colak, I'm going to unleash Cantwell, and I'm going to unleash Raskin, and we're going to go for the win.
Yeah.
I think that was a plan. But as you say, as soon as Celtic take the lead, your backs are against the wall, and then you need to change it instantly.
Is he copying Ange Postecoglou? Is that Postecoglou's style? He's usually a 60 minute three sub man, isn't he?
Yeah.
Football's changed since I stopped playing. Five subs now that can change a game like that.
I actually thought Ryan Jack was good when he came
on. By the way, I said to Gordon Duncan sitting next to me, I said Ryan Jack has touched the ball more times in a couple of minutes than Lundstrom Kamara put together for the previous hour.
And he was also making things happen and causing problems for Celtic at the back as well. But I really enjoyed the game, but ultimately Celtic deserved to win over the 90 minutes. For that, there is no doubt.
Oh, yes.
And what you'd think is that Michael Beale will learn from that.
Well, of course, he looks a very studious manager.
A
studious manager.
Who taught you that word?
What do you mean by that?
You in your life have never used that word.
I use it quite often when I'm flicking through.
You've heard it from somebody else.
Novels, right?
You've heard that from somebody else.
Like who?
That's not a normal everyday word for you.
It very much is.
No, it's not. Because
when I'm speaking to my children, studying.
I listen to Clive Super Scoreboard. You've been on this podcast before.
I'm frankly offended. I won't be in this podcast again after the intro I got and being pulled up in studious. Chris, I'm not coming back.
Go and spell it.
Studious. Studious.
Is it not a studious?
A studious. You put an A in front of it.
A what in front?
I've been busted. Been rumbled.
Google that for me, intern Chris.
Studious.
S-T-U-D-I-O-U-S.
Yes.
Spending a lot of time studying or reading.
Get around you. Yes. I knew I was right. And you made me doubt myself.
Right, go and put that word in another sentence for me.
What was I saying?
Doesn't matter, I don't want the same sentence, I want a different sentence.
I was very
sentence.
Studious before coming in here. Reading up in numerous facts
about the game yesterday.
About the game yesterday. I forget what I was even saying. I really learned for it. Well, he better actually learn for it. Okay. The Rangers fans will be quick to let him know.
So, between now and the end of the podcast, I'd like you to use that word again at some point.
Okay.
Just throw it in there without making any kind of like, not highlighting it or saying, oh, I'm about to say that word again. Just throw it in there.
Okay.
All right. So, what's the word again?
Studious.
Right. So, listen out for the word studious. Studious. So, listen out for the word studious. It'll be coming up again at some point in the podcast. So, we're talking about the cup final yesterday. Celtic winning by 2-1. Will they win the treble?
Ooh. Well, I'm going to say yes. Well, they need to dispatch you. The other mob, your mob.
At Tynecastle.
At Tynecastle. That could be the pivotal one, but.
That's the one.
That's the one.
For me, that is the game where Celtic could come unstuck, because what I would hope from a Hearts fan point of view is that Hearts will have learned their lessons of how we set up against Rangers when they pumped us at Tynecastle. That was embarrassing. I thought we were pretty poor against Celtic at Parkhead. I don't think we were that great. But we did lose narrowly by 4-3 when we took the game to them. Do you remember that game earlier in the season?
That was a belter. First VAR.
That's right.
Or the second, should I say, because Easter Road the night before, but it was jam-packed.
Couple of penalties in there. VAR was all over the place, etc., etc. If that Hearts team turns up on that day... Mm-hmm. When it was 4-3 Celtic, what a chance we've got at Tynecastle in Edinburgh.
Fair doubt.
If Celtic get over that really difficult hurdle, is the treble theirs?
Oh, without a doubt. Because if they go over that hurdle, got to remember, they'll be playing at Hampden. Semi-finals at Hampden, right, obviously.
Say you avoid Rangers in the semi, would you be confident going to the final against Rangers? And would you not be worried that Rangers will have learnt something from the previous final that they might be able to turn it around?
No. Listen, I'd always be worried coming up against Rangers. That's what I don't get. A lot of Celtic fans coming on and saying, oh, we've nothing to worry about at all. It'll be easy against Rangers. Yesterday proved it's not. You're coming up against
Ibrox this new year proved
exactly.
It's not going to be easy.
So you're coming up against the best of the rest. So obviously it's going to be tougher. So you never know in these games. But Hearts at Tynecastle, it's an environment that's out with your control. Mm-hmm. It proves a major hurdle for Celtic. When you get to Hampden, Celtic have been there that often, they must feel pretty comfortable in their surroundings.
Would you put your mortgage on it?
What mortgage?
Oh.
I'm only joking. As if anybody in these times hasn't got a mortgage.
I'd be surprised if you didn't have a mortgage looking back at your managerial career.
Trust me, they pay off through Breakin' and Airdrie. They're not paying my house off.
Probably wouldn't even paid you for a holiday up north. If you were to beat Hearts at Tynecastle, they'd be a lot more confident.
Would you put money in Celtic right in this minute winning the treble?
No, because I think the Tynecastle hurdle's a big one. I think it's huge. Because I think Hearts will feel like they need to make amends from recent performances against the Old Firm.
Yeah,
and I think that's got extra time written all over it.
It must be soon March, sometime
it's
March.
It's when I'm in
it?
Vegas. It's the game.
You go to Vegas?
I'm going to Vegas. I'm watching a game in Vegas.
Oh, I'm some going support
for,
you.
I'm going for you. Some support. What?
That big game.
Yeah, I know, but it was booked before the draw was made. Nah. It was booked like last year.
Where are you going? They can't be a heart supporters club in Vegas.
No, there isn't. No, there isn't. I actually fly on the morning of the game. So I'm flying down to London, and when I get to London, I've got a 4-hour wait in London. And while I'm in London for 4 hours, I'll be able to watch the game.
Nowhere will have it on in London. They don't care about the Scottish Cup.
I'll watch on my iPad or something. I'll watch it because it's a lunchtime kickoff on Saturday.
Yeah, true fan.
I actually think we might edge it.
You think so?
I really do think we could
love
edge
that.
It.
Blind optimism.
2-1 Hearts.
2-1 Hearts.
2-1 Hearts, and we're going to kill Celtic's treble hopes.
Right.
And then Rangers will beat Celtic at Parkhead, claw it back to 6 points. Celtic will themselves. And then they'll lose it in the split, bit like what happened on Helicopter Sunday a few years ago. And then Ange Postecoglou will leave and he'll sign up with possibly Leeds. So you win the
I
league
took
cup.
A fair turn, isn't it? A fair turn from do you think the treble's on to nothing's on. Jesus. All right.
See, before we move on from yesterday, can we talk about Hampden? I hate Hampden with a passion, right? I think for me, it's one of the worst national stadiums on the planet. And any opportunity I get, I have a pop at Hampden. If Scotland are playing there, if there's a semi-final being played there, if there's a final, it doesn't matter what goes on at Hampden, any opportunity I get, I will highlight the fact that it's one of the worst national stadiums on the planet. I hate it with an absolute passion. And there were a few football fans who were at the game yesterday behind the goals that have sent me pictures of their fan experience. You cannot see a thing. That is, for me, an absolute disgrace and an embarrassment to Scottish football that football fans are being sold seats where you literally can't see the other end of the pitch. And there's a lot of fans who have to experience that whenever they turn up at Hampden. That needs to change.
That's shocking. The pictures that you've shown me.
Yeah.
You know, there's no way that they're doctored or anything
because
can quite clearly see those people when we had lovely seats. I might say lovely viewpoint. But those on the ground level, you're right. And behind the goal is
behind
so far away.
In particular,
it's became about a redundant track round about it. Now, why do we need that big a track round our national stadium?
What's our national sport?
Football.
Right. Yeah. That's a football
stadium.
Just got
to the rugby fans, this podcast.
Right, no, this is the national sport of football. That is the national stadium for football.
Yeah.
It's about the fan. And without the fan, you don't have a game. The fan experience, not just for those behind the goals at either end of the stadium, but getting to and from Hampden.
I was just about to say that.
The infrastructure
around it. Last night, getting home was incredible. And then you're sitting there for an hour in the car, just thinking, the traffic, you know, the transport links, the traffic system round about Tory Glen. I mean, it's all bottleneck. And what do you think? What are they thinking about here? But you're right, inside the ground, Ewan, the behind the goals issue, I think it takes away from the atmosphere as well. I think the fans behind the goals, and both were in great colour, and there was fireworks and flares.
See the start of the game. You've got the displays on either end of the pitch, right? The camera took ages to pan round because there's such a wide gap between the pitch and where the fans are.
I know. And then after the game, when the Celtic team are celebrating, they all have to vault the advertising boards and walk across that big, empty, redundant space to celebrate in front of their fans. And you think, it's madness. You look at West Ham. West Ham, when they took over the Olympic Stadium in London, first thing they did, put seated areas behind the goals,
boom,
build it up, bring it in, atmosphere's great, looks visually looks brilliant, and we are
left with what I would love us to do, and I don't know how we do it or where the funding would come from, but what you need to do is you've got the main stand and you've got the stand across from the main stand. Anyway, you knock down the sides and you bring it right in and you build it up like the Spurs stadium. And maybe have a couple of tiers and have it right on top of that on the goals. A bit like Tyne Castle.
You sound like you're a fan of Lego. You sound like an experienced Lego builder. All you do is you knock down the ends and then you just build it up brick by brick, and then that's brilliant.
I make it sound so easy.
The guys at Hampden right now are taking notes. That sounds all right. I never thought of that.
So I would say that Scottish football can do better, should do better, and without the football fan, we do not have a national game. We deserve better, the fans deserve better, and I think they need to make changes at that stadium. They really do have to have a look at it. I don't know where they get the money from, but they need to find it from somewhere, that's for sure.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Later on in the show, we'll be looking back on if Scottish football were a crisp. Remember, you can find us on all your podcast providers and on Twitter via the at Big Football Scott Twitter page. We're on Instagram and Facebook too. Just search for the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Right, let's get stuck into all the other games in Scottish football over the weekend. Let's start with Aberdeen beating Livingston by a goal to nil. Wasn't much in the game, quite a poor game, but Aberdeen deserved it, Mark Wilson.
Certainly did, on the look at it. It's an interesting one up at Pittodrie at the minute with Barry Robson and how long he's going to get at the helm, and if he has a realistic chance of getting the job. I probably agree with you.
He's probably there until the end of the season. It gives him time to try and source somebody that's going to come in and then be at the club for 2-3 years.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But on the day, they definitely shaded it. See, when you've got someone like Miovski and someone like Duke, I looked at the goal scoring charts at the weekend. Kyogo by far out ahead, but Aberdeen,
I don't
got,
know if he's out that. Shankland's got 20s, you know. I think Kyogo got 22, 23,
something like that. That's far, my opinion. Depends what your standards are, but anyway, my point. Miovski,
we're playing St John's the weekend at Tynecastle. If Shankland gets a hat trick, I think he's level with Kyogo in goals.
Well, well done then. I'll be good. I will be happy to come on and congratulate Shankland if that happens. But anyway, my point, those two are in the top 10 in the scoring chart, Miovski and Duke.
Yeah.
So quite easy to see where Aberdeen's problems have lay.
And it's been defensive, yeah.
But they keep a clean sheet.
And they've actually leapfrogged Livingston. And it's now Aberdeen who are in the top six, and Livingston have dropped to seventh. And Livingston in recent weeks haven't been particularly good.
No,
they're dropping points and losing games.
Sticky patch for David Martindale, but I've written off Livingston so many times that I'm never going to do it again.
Every year I go, this is the year they get relegated. I've been saying that for the last 5 years or something.
By the way, we do our predictions, don't we, in Super Scoreboard? And I think I had Livy near the bottom of the table this year. Just because they keep losing players, don't they, in the summer? You think, how are they replacing or getting the same attitude?
Yeah.
Seems to do it all the time. But wee sticky patch for them. But that sixth place or in the top six, crucial for Livy. Terms of finances.
Totally, 100%. Joel Nubley will be leaving in the summer.
Who's told you that?
I've got my sources.
Who's your source? I always like to hear sources. I've never had a source in my life.
You don't have a source?
Well, I wouldn't call them source. Pals.
But you work with like Hugh Keevans and Roger Hahn and all that. They must tell you stuff.
They make things up. On a team.
They make things up.
And people buy the papers. And believe it. Oh, no, I need to say for clarity, it's all true, just in case the sun comes after me. It's all true.
So Aberdeen beat Livingston by a goal to nil. And yes, my sources are pretty good. Joel Nubley will not be at Livingston for the start of the new season when it comes round. Kilmarnock won, Motherwell won. Kilmarnock were in front for such a long, long time, and then an absolute peach of a free kick from Slattery right at the death gets Kettlewell a point at Rugby Park, and it's a point that was better for Motherwell than it was for Kilmarnock at the bottom of the table,
without a doubt, because Kilmarnock's home form this season has been brilliant. That's where they've gathered most
all
of their points,
yeah.
All the points. So you fancied them when they went one up, but the second half Motherwell came into it, they created some chances. By the way, Abika had a kind of Sakala Morelos moment
when he had
Van Veen exact same. And he went for goal. And then the last minute, now I'm on the show, Super Scoreboard on Saturday. Gordon Duncan, avid Motherwell fan. Gordon DL, pretend Motherwell fan. I mean, avid Motherwell fan. And they get the free kick, and I says, oh, move on. I said, not a chance. Slattery, never heard him take a free kick.
Boom.
Boom, goal button gets pressed. What a goal that is.
Stunning, isn't
Unbelievable.
It?
Unbelievable. By the way, did you see the Motherwell amount of supporters? It took full top tier, good travelling support, and Alan Burrows' last game.
Are Motherwell safe? Is that point keep enough distance between themselves and Kilmarnock?
You know what? I'm going to say yes.
They're safe.
I'm going to say yes because of what's below them and how they're getting on.
And would you have given Kettlewell the job, or would you have just given him a part time until the start, end of the season? Do you know what I mean by that?
I think that's possibly what the stumbling block was. Because remember, he got offered the job after the Hearts game. Mm-hmm. And he says he's taking time to consider. And that kind of dragged on.
But do you think Motherwell should have just waited a wee bit longer? Or do you think they're right to give him the job?
That's a tough one. That is a tough one because on the face of it just now, it looks the right decision.
But he's unbeaten in three games.
Could be a flash in the pan. Who knows? I don't think Kettlewell would have signed for a couple of months. I think he had them over the barrel. I've done well. The fans want me. I've won my games. Give me a contract to the end of next season.
Beat St Mirren, beat Hearts, and then drew with Kilmarnock at the weekend. And you think they're safe now because of those results? 7 points out of nine?
I think so.
Okay. Ross County 4, Dundee United 0. Your old team, Dundee United, mate.
Yeah.
Liam Fox has lost his job off the back of that result to Ross County. I watched that game, and I have to say that Dundee United were an embarrassment to themselves and the football club.
Yeah, yeah.
It was an absolute abysmal, abject performance.
Well, through the first couple of minutes where they lose that comical goal take it before that to the warm-up.
Yeah.
Birigiti, who we all thought was injured for the season. I don't know how that got, you know, described to his last week after his embarrassing goal. He's then on the bench and he's doing a full warm-up but being berated by his own fans. So from before a ball's kicked, the atmosphere is toxic around the club at the minute. Now the AGM midweek doesn't help. Fans outside the ground. Liam Fox had no other option but to win that game, and he needed a huge performance for his players, and he actually got the opposite. Comical, full of mistakes, you could say lack of effort. And I'm going with the highlights that I watched. I mean,
it was 4-7.
Well, they hit the post. Did they get a goal disallowed as well?
Goal disallowed as well, aye.
Hit the post twice against Ross County, who are in a relegation battle alongside you.
Aye. But do you know what? That signing of Eamon Brophy, it could well be the signing that saves Ross County from being in a relegation playoff or being relegated, because Eamon Brophy scored twice and he also set up a goal as well.
By the way, second goal.
Oh,
was,
what a shot.
Oh, my goodness, what a hit that is. But that's the difference. See, when you're down at that
That level,
you need signings in January who are going to affect your league position. Strikers are obviously key. Dundee United let Tony Watt go. They don't replace him with anybody. And Ross County sing Eamon Brophy and Simon Murray, who's not had as big an impact. But you can see what their point was. They needed goals to get them at the mess they're in. And it's working for Malky Mackay.
Ross County play Motherwell this weekend.
Oh, big one. Where's it at?
At Ross County.
At Ross County.
Huge, isn't it?
It's another test for Kettlewell. It is another test for them. But that'll be a beauty. That'll be a cracker.
But you're still saying Motherwell
are
safe.
I'm saying Motherwell are safe.
So what if Ross County beat Motherwell?
Oh, they're dragged right back in. We can just delete this bit, can we, at the podcast?
No, we can't. It stays. So
right,
Dundee United are now looking for a new manager. Are you interested?
Yeah. Oh, get my Well, I was until you obliterated my CV.
So to say a Dundee United legend walks in the door as a new manager, right?
Yeah.
I don't know who that is, but it's the same. A legend walks through the door and takes a job, and he wants Mark Wilson as first team coach. Do you take the job?
Oh, without doubt.
Without a doubt.
Without doubt. I've been I've been studious of Dundee United's performances this season and players, so I would be ready to get what he's laughing at.
You'd be what?
Studious.
Studious.
Oh, did that say studious?
You did.
I'd be in there. Oh, listen, I love Dundee United. In all seriousness, I had some great times there as a kid. They allowed me to go to Celtic, and then when I came back, I had great times. Good people at the club, and a terrible position.
You'd like to go back though, in a coaching capacity?
Oh, without a doubt.
Without a doubt. Did you know Duncan Ferguson at the time?
No. Oh, yeah, by the way, you're worse than Gordon Dale. Gordon Dale just gets any old Celtic player and says, you must know him, you must have played with him. Duncan Ferguson.
Hey, Duncan.
You and I'm 38, mate. I left school in the year 2000.
All right.
Like the Busted song.
Uh-huh.
And then Duncan Ferguson was 1994.
I know that.
How would I know Duncan Ferguson?
No. Right, okay.
Where was that going?
Right, no, because...
Oh, is he in the running?
Well, he was in the running before Liam Fox got it. And the reason I was asking if you know Duncan Ferguson is, was there any truth in the rumour that he was offered a job and knocked it back?
Do you want me to phone him?
Do you actually have his number?
No, I just told you I don't know him. I'm only joking. Do you have his number?
No, but again,
by the way, he's managing Forest Green.
Yeah, I know. That before he got the Forest Green job, Dundee United were looking for a new manager, right? So Dundee United were wanting a manager.
Yeah.
I heard a story that they approached Duncan Ferguson and he knocked it back. So what's the point of you being on Clyde Super Scoreboard when you know nothing, you know nobody, you're not a good manager?
You've already wrecked my football career. He's now trying to wreck my punditry.
He knows nothing. What do you contribute to Clyde Super Scoreboard?
Good at adverts. When there's adverts or advertising to be done, I'm your man.
So have you heard anything about who is in the running for the Dundee United job?
Well, no. I would love to say, but who do you think then? It'll be the
Why are you asking me?
Because you've got sources. You already said you've got sources.
But you're the highly paid pundit and former footballer.
Highly paid.
Former manager, right? So I brought you in here for a wee bit of insight because there was a lot that happened at the weekend.
Yeah.
It turns out that I know more than you, and all I am is a presenter and a football fan. You're the football guy.
It could be truth in that. I'm not going to argue.
You're
that
the football guy.
It could be that. Invite me back next week. Right. Let me make amends. I'll come back with sources.
So Liam Fox is out of a job. Dundee United need a new manager. Let me take you back to the start of the season when Jack Cross was in charge.
Yep.
did they make a mistake in getting rid of him?
100%.
I agree with you. Agree on something.
100%. Right. He had two unbelievably bad results. Europe was horrendous, followed by Celtic, who had a real purple patch that day at Tannadice. So that's hard to keep your job with eight two big scorelines. But you only have to remember the week before in Europe when he had one of the greatest nights Tannadice has seen in a long time. It just got forgotten about. So I think that's a mistake.
Right, who's the new manager?
Who's the new manager? Oh, if Duncan Ferguson was about, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
Just because I just told that you that.
Billy McKinley. What do you make of that?
St Johnston won, St Mirren won.
You can't just move on.
Yeah, St Johnston, St Mirren won.
Just different than we thought.
St Mirren are chasing top six. Are they going to get there? Are St Johnston going to squeeze in the top six? I mean, they're not going to be dragged into a relegation battle. So it's more or less, it's kind of like stuck in the middle.
Who's going to get the top six place? St Mirren need it more than St Johnston. And that's for financially. Yeah, because Stevie Robertson said at the weekend that getting them into top six would be his greatest ever achievement as a manager. This guy's taking Motherwell to cup finals and finished third.
And he's right. And you know why?
I think so.
Because see, at the start of the season, everybody said that St Mirren, with their problems and their issues at the club, would be relegated.
I don't think that's his greatest. You cannot say your greatest achievement is top six when you've been to the heights of cup finals. And I understand.
Do you know the mess that St Mirren were in when he walked through the door?
Well, they're still in.
I think if you look back at every prediction of every media person, every pundit, I think they've got St Mirren in the bottom two.
I'm not sure about that. Five behind Hearts.
That's unbelievable.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'll give him complete credit for the way he's transformed the club. It's a Motherwell reserve team, is it? No, he's put together.
It's all the kids and everything. And a few experienced players.
Well, what about Andrew McLean's stat? St Mirren against Motherwell. St Mirren players had more appearances than the Motherwell team that faced them.
Really?
What he's done is accumulated a squad full of players that he trusts, right? In all seriousness, that he's worked with at Motherwell and he knows can get a job done and can play to a particular style. And he's got them pulling in the one direction. See, sometimes when a club falls into financial difficulties, that sometimes galvanises the full club to pull in the one direction. St Mirren are showing that at the minute.
St Johnston are fine. Do they threaten the top six? They are 4 points from that position just now, held by Aberdeen.
No, St Johnston will finish bottom six for me.
Okay,
I think they're inconsistent.
So who is the top six then? Do you think is as it stands?
Top six: Celtic, Rangers, Hearts, Hibs,
St Mirren, Aberdeen.
St Mirren, Aberdeen. There you go.
Pretty much. Do Aberdeen or Hibs or St Mirren catch Hearts?
Hibs, maybe. Why are you laughing at?
You're smiling when you said that.
No, listen, look at the form of Hibs.
They've got the momentum. They're the team in form right now.
By the way, we were chatting about Lee Johnson getting the sack.
I know, just what, 4 or 5 weeks ago.
What was it called? The game El Sacchio. Lee Johnson against Jim Goodwin.
That's right.
And now we're talking about them catching Hearts.
I know.
I mean, how football can change.
It does, doesn't it? Let's move into the Championship. Raith Rovers nil, Ayr United nil. What do you want to say about that?
Absolutely nothing.
Okay, Arbroath nil, Partick Thistle nil.
You're allowed to swear on here again.
Say what you like, mate. Dundee 1, Inverness Cali Thistle 1. That was... Did you see the offside goal?
I didn't see it.
It's one of the worst decisions you will see. And if that is to cost Dundee top spot and promotion to the Premiership, they've got every right to be upset. There was a goal scored to go 2-1 up and it was never offside in a million years. That is a tough 2 points drop for Dundee because Queen's Park ran out 4-1 winners away to Hamilton, so they extend their lead at the top of the table, but Dundee do have a game in hand. And Morton, they're on some run. 2-1 winners against Cove Rangers. Paul Hartley had turned it around for Cove. They were 1-0 up in that game, but Morton turned it around. They've got a good run to the playoffs, possibly.
Yeah, Morton will. Morton's been good this season. Remember them at Celtic Park? How they set up the first 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you're thinking, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Good players.
Good players. So that's the Championship. What about League One? Airdrie 1, Falkirk 3. Now, Airdrie were 1-up in that game, but Falkirk turned it around to win by 3-1.
Never been the same at Airdrie, has it? Since a certain manager departed.
No, but they're in the playoff positions just now.
But there's still a long way to go.
So Falkirk, big win for them against Airdrie. Always a tricky game for them on that plastic pitch, but Falkirk out on top. Dunfermline, who are top of the table, they won 2-0 away to Queen of South. Friend of the show, Marvin Bartley, in charge of Queen of South. Now, they're fine. They're not going to be in any relegation problems. and there was an outside chance of them getting into the playoffs, but that result doesn't help their ambitions of possibly making a late push for the playoffs.
No, it certainly doesn't help. But I don't think many people would have been surprised when they see Dunfermline, the form they're in. Marvin, outside chance.
Nobody's expecting them to get in the playoffs and nobody's expecting them to get relegated. I think for Marvin, these are the games. It's just to assess the players and then get ready for next season.
I think so. Take his time.
Dunfermline 5 clear of Falkirk. They've still got to play each other twice. Who's winning the league?
Oh, Dunfermline. Dunfermline over the course have been the most consistent. That's obviously why they're at the top.
League 2, what can you tell us about League 2?
League 2, oh, I can tell you about my time in League 2, travelling around all the grounds and hating every minute of it. Do you want me to go into that? Or I can speak football if you want. Depends what you're wanting, Ewan. This is your show. I'm just a guest.
Dumbarton, who are the league leaders, lost at home to Elgin City. That was a big highlight from League 2 because it just brings back horror memories for Mark Wilson.
So it does. Have you ever been to Dumbarton?
Oh, that's when Scotland used to train at Dumbarton.
They did.
I've been there for a few media conferences over the years.
Oh,
with the big rock.
The big rock. Now, picturesque and beautiful, but if you know the stadium, there's one stand and it's right on the Clyde. So just the wind, it's like the equivalent of Arbroath on the west coast. And I finished my playing career there. What about that?
They've got a good subway in Dumbarton. Every time I went to a Scotland presser, that would go to the subway.
That's the benchmark of the place. You should tell that to the chairman and manager to try and attract players. Say this to them.
It's 5 minutes from the stadium. It's perfect. It's like brilliant.
They've got their lunch off.
What do you have in a subway sandwich?
I have the Italian BMT.
BLT.
No, that's baitless tomato. It's loads of Italian meat on it. BMT, I'm sure is.
Okay. What's the spicy sauce?
Chipotle. What's it called?
Chipotle. I love the chipotle sauce. It's not chipotle.
T's before the L.
It's chipotle.
Is it?
Intern Chris?
It's absolutely chipotle.
But I also toast it and then I get loads of chipotle sauce put on top of it.
I do like that. Yeah, how's they ended up on Subways?
I can't wait for Stephen Mill to get back, by the way.
Am I back next week?
No chance.
Because
you've got no sources.
I was going to dig into my...
And you know nothing.
My back catalogue.
Oh, by the way, you could be in next week because Stephen's not here next week,
is he? I'm not coming next week after.
Right, we're booking you now.
I'm in next week. I'm busy.
Right, your homework.
Oh, no, I'm busy next week, honestly.
Are you?
Aye. I'm at Glen Eagles next Monday.
Oh, so you are.
Aye. If you want to come up on the Monday...
We record it there.
Do it on location. So you call it in the business.
So you can't be here next week then.
I can't, mate. Okay. Sorry. La gente está muy loca. What
the fuck? VAR. Always a talking point on the Big Scottish Football Podcast. This is WTF VAR. There's only really one to talk about the weekend. Surprised there was none to talk about during the Viaplay Cup final. Can I just point out, we always have a dig at referees on this show. Can I just say, I thought Nick Walsh yesterday, man of the match.
He was good, actually. Don't often say that, but
I thought
fair
he had
play.
An outstanding game. Cool, calm, collected. Well done, my friend. Brilliant. But there is one talking point when it comes to VARWTF, and it was in the game at McDermott Park, which finished 1-1 between St Johnstone and St Mirren. I thought it was a straight red, 100%. That's a straight red, no doubt about it. Initially, the referee gives him a yellow. VAR say, go and have a look at that. I think it could be worse than a yellow. He then agrees with VAR. He goes back, he cancels the yellow, and he pulls out a red card. The boy himself looked quite distraught. He couldn't quite believe that he got the red card for that challenge. And then I was watching Sports Scene, and I heard James McFadden and Neil McCann explain why it wasn't a red card, and I think they convinced me that it isn't now a red card, and they believe that it will be overturned on appeal. What's your thoughts as a former player, Mark Wilson?
Well, I agree with the former players on the panel, and that is the problem, because I think any former player understands what has happened in that situation. The problem is the referee then goes over and he gets that freeze frame where you see Phillips and it looks horrendous, that's a byproduct of what Phillips was actually trying to do. You know, he's got a nick in the ball and he studs his follow through because he positioned leg. There is no way that he has tried to injure or use excessive force. That's a buzzword, or a couple of buzzwords.
What McFadden and McCann said on Sports Scene was that you need to watch that in its entirety and not just the freeze frame of him or the slow motion of him connecting with the player's leg. If you watch it from the get go, he's got control of the ball and he's turning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the boy puts his leg in.
It's equivalent to, say I've got the ball, Ewan. I take a shot at goal. I give it my all. My boot comes up after the ball's left, but you come in to try and block it. My studs go into your leg.
Yes.
Nothing I can do.
Aye, that's right. That's a brilliant example. He's actually contributed something decent
to
the show.
Thank you.
Mate, that's amazing.
I'll be back a week in Monday. No, that's Monday.
Right. That's exactly what it is.
But the problem we have then is referees unable to understand that. I sometimes hate that argument, right? Oh, they've not played the game, so they don't understand it. They need to get a better understanding of it. Everything freeze-framed cannot be a red card offence. It just can't. It's
so impossible. Are you in the camp of McFadden and McCann? Once that's appealed, it will be overturned?
No, I think it should be overturned.
You don't think they will?
I don't think they will.
I mean, even the two managers agreed they didn't think it was a red card.
Yeah.
You never hear that.
I know.
So you've got the two managers, surely the panel, they'll sit there and look at it and go, do you know what? They're probably right.
I would love that to be the case. But you only have to look back to last week with Vassella,
the Hibs one.
And you go, oh, who is this panel?
I said last Monday, there's no chance they're not going to rescind that.
Yeah.
They're definitely going
to
rescind
that. So what did they rescind? They rescinded the Nicky Clark one? That was correct.
At Ibrox.
But if you keep overturning VAR decisions, you create a huge problem.
Right,
now this
independent panel.
This
is a conspiracy.
No.
They can't keep overturning decisions made by referees, because then what they're doing is saying the referees aren't very good. So they have to agree with them sometimes. Is that what you're saying? You're actually...
Well, listen, along those lines, because who in a football background...
So even though they know it's the wrong decision, you think they can't say it's wrong because it's always having a go at the referee.
Well, I'm not going to... I don't know if I'm going to go that far. You're trying to get a line out of me here.
But that's what you just said.
No, I didn't.
In a roundabout way, you said that.
I just find it odd that a couple of these decisions that have been brandished yellow card.
I find it odd.
Right. That have been brandished yellow cards, which might be the right decision at the time. I didn't even think Vassell's a yellow card and Phillips is the same, right?
I agree with you.
But the referee then gives a red because of VAR. Everybody has a chance to see what we see. That three-person panel has a chance and they don't overturn it.
So why didn't they overturn the Vassell one? Because it was Beaton who initially gave the yellow card.
Yeah.
He then looked at the monitor, he then changed it to a red. Beaton a few weeks earlier had done the exact same thing and they overturned it and they rescinded the
at Tannadice.
Yes.
That was the one at Tannadice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Ewan, I would love to explain what's going on in our game.
So 100% you do not think they'll overturn that one?
I don't think they'll overturn it,
Phillips,
but they should.
They should.
They should,
I
but they won't.
I agree with you. Should we move on? What do we do here now?
By the way, is Stephen usually that side of the desk?
Aye, I'm never here.
You are that side of the desk when you're doing your radio show, though, are you?
Yeah,
or do you just sit here?
I just sit there and just talk nonsense.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Where's the script for this? Oh, right, here we go. Got it. If Scottish football were a crisp, last week we set you the challenge on our Twitter page to come up with your suggestions for if Scottish football were crisps. For instance, I came up with this one, Stuart Kettle Chips.
I like that, aye. That's all right,
aye.
Good. I've got, what about Kenny Branigan?
Kenny Branigan,
remember Branigan's crisps?
Yeah.
You know, having that?
Who's Kenny Branigan?
Oh, shut up. You don't want to mess with Kenny.
Who is he?
Kenny Branigan, legend of the War League's ex-Queen of the South manager. I'll play six aside with him.
Here we go. Alan Daly says Andy Walker's.
That's the obvious one, eh?
Ali McCoy's.
No, because he's named McCoyst. Can he just...
But it's a play on words, mate. It's a play
that's
on
not
word.
A good play on word, though. You just chopped half.
McCoy's, Ali McCoy's.
Three letters of his name, replaced it with a Y.
From Ross Duncan.
Inventive.
Doris the Bacon Fries.
Shit,
That's awful. Getting worse.
Crisp Sutton.
Aye, right.
Union porn bear, Palm Bears.
I'd buy a packet of them.
Union Palm Bears.
You're saying tasty.
Union Palm Bears.
Palm
Bears. Ah. I like a Palm Bear.
Aye.
From Jamie Ryan. What would it be? Ryan. He plays with Bournemouth. He used to play at Celtic.
Crispy.
Yeah.
Ryan Crispy, genius.
From Gaza Meister. Doritos. Or oh, Doritos. O's. Celtic's new signing.
Doritos.
Well
delivered, mate. Yeah. That was catchy. Doritos.
Scott McTominay Lays.
Lays, that's the old foreign version of Walkers, isn't it? Aye. When you go abroad and you're half cut, you need something.
Scott McTominay Lays. From Jason Robb. Mini Chedderuda.
Chedward.
Like oh, Chedward. Mini Chedward.
Yes, Cheddars, as in mini Cheddars.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just rubbish. From Andy Scott. Andy Hallalays.
Hallalays. By the way, I should have read this bit in the programme, because
I hate this part of the show, because I can't read these out. From George Burns. Salt and Shaky Logan.
No,
cheese and Chivian Sproul. Cheese and Chivian Ivan Sproul.
Cheese and Chive. Cheese and Chive and Sproul.
Oh, Chive and Sproul.
Chive and Sproul. Chivian. Oh, Chivian. Chivian Sproul. Ivan Sproul.
Okay.
Chivian. That's quite a good one, that one.
Uh huh.
He's in Chive and Sproul.
Jonathan.
I like that one.
Jonathan Goulden. Golden Wonder. Golden Wonder.
Golden Wonder.
Golden Wonder. From Scott White. Salt and Nerlinger. That's not bad.
What? I'm not having that one.
Okay. From Ronnie Meldrum. Chipsticks Young. From John Bleasdale, friend of the show. Salt and vinegar of Hesselink.
I think they're just shoehorning names into packets of crap. I know that's the point of it, but.
Salt and vinegar of Hesselink. From Jamie Brennan, Keith Laslays. Yeah. French Frisian Maida. French Frisian? French Frisian Maida.
French fries and Maida.
Oh, yeah.
French fries and Maida. Is there none made knickknacks in there? There must be a knickknack.
Ryan.
Knick-knack Walsh.
Wait. Here's one for you. Ryan. Snack.
Ryan Snack.
Ryan Snacker. Snacker.
Snacker.
What's his name?
Reagan. What are you saying to me?
Ryan Snacker. What's his second name?
Christy. What Ryan are we talking about here?
Ryan Snacker. Ryan Snacker.
Am I not getting this?
Ryan Snacker. And the second name of Ryan is?
Crispy.
No.
Oh, Ryan Snacker Jack.
Yes.
Right. Sorry.
And finally, from John McCormack, Space Invadian McGiddy. Space what?
Space Invader McGiddy. Space.
Space Invading McGiddy.
What?
Space Invading
McGiddy. Space Invaders.
Oh, Aiden McGiddy.
Aiden McGiddy. Oh,
Space Invadian. Invading. Oh, yeah, okay, I get that. Thank you to all of you. And the winner today is who?
Oh, right, I like to snack a Jack one, although it took me a while to get it, but I like to Chive and Sproul. Cheese and Chive and Sproul. For your pronunciation, a Chivian. It's much to do with that.
Well done to George Burns. You're our winner today. And for next week's podcast, thank God Mark Wilson won't be here, we want to know your best suggestions for if Scottish football was a holiday. Examples include Turkey Sung Young. Yes, that's a good one. That's a good one. Madrividin Yilmaz.
No, I can't read this just for the purposes of the listeners, but is it Madrid?
Madrid Van Yilmaz.
Ecuadoria de Vries.
You can see that your show's unscripted. You're just better off the cuff, mate. Just keep it light. Just don't you be reading that.
Berlin Dykes. Anyway, that's it. So yeah, go to the Twitter page at Big Football Scott, and it's over to you to leave your suggestions. Mark, give me your best one for a holiday.
I'm trying to think of something. Dubai.
I've got one.
But the
Dubai.
Rest of it, like Dubai McGregor. That's the theme.
Dubai McGregor.
Just shoving places into names. That seems to be what everybody else is doing.
Okay. Should we move on?
You give us one with Dubai.
Nah, I've had enough. We're moving on. This has been the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Thank you to my very special guest, Mark Wilson. Mark, do you have anything you want to plug before you move on?
Well, I've got a new book coming out, How to Manage in the Lower Leagues. How to achieve 15 wins in the Lower Leagues.
And a tour book of Dumbarton. Huge thank you to all of you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on whichever podcast provider you use so you don't miss a podcast. Keep an eye on our socials as well if Scottish football was a holiday. Get your tweets sent and we'll be back next week at the usual time with another brand new episode of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I'll be here again because Stephen Mill is off. I have no idea who the co-host will be. It won't be Mark Wilson because he's going to be in Glen Eagles.
Yes.
Love you, Mark.
Thank you.